the path of aggression.
Well, let's discuss this now with Richard Sakwa, Professor of Russian and European Politics at the University of Kent. Richard, thank you so much for being here. I think I'd like, if you don't mind, to go back to basics. What is Russia doing? Why is it building up troops on the border?
Well, this is the culmination of many years of Russian complaints. It all stems back to NATO enlargement. We've had this for 20 years. This issue simply won't go away. And as far as Moscow is concerned, no one has been listening to them, that the United States and Western allies have pulled out of the ABM Treaty in 2002 and a whole stack of other things. And that this peace order after the Cold War, as far as they're concerned, was unbalanced and not inclusive. And so they're finally saying, look, enough is enough. Listen to us now. And so this mobilization is a way of trying to get attention to start negotiations.
Do they want to be part of NATO, or do they just think that NATO's got too much power?
Well, that's a very interesting question. When Lord George Robertson was General Secretary of NATO in the early 2000s, he got on very well with Putin, and the idea of Russia joining at that time was certainly part of the discussions. It was vetoed by Washington because, obviously, as the Chinese say, you can't have two tigers on the mountain. And so it was. And now, finally, just one final point is that why it's happening now is because quite clearly that the sort of the more pragmatic people in the Kremlin have lost out to in factional fighting. And so the hardliners are now driving policy.
Do Russia have a point? I mean, have they been sort of left out on a limb a bit?
Well, they have an absolute point. I mean, as one of my colleagues has just recently argued, if Scotland became independent and then some hostile force wanted to build an alliance in Scotland, I think the British would have something to say about it. And the same applies to Ireland, which, of course, the Republic, which is new to them. So absolutely, they've got a point. The catastrophe in why we're in this situation now, I mean, I argue it's a slow-motion Cuban missile crisis. It's been boiling and brewing for many years, and it's finally coming to the boil.
What about Ukraine in all of this? I mean, are there some parts of Ukraine that would quite like to be parts of Russia, or actually are they kind of going to be protecting their sovereignty?
No, I don't think that any particular part, apart from the Donbass, the republics now, want to be part of Russia. And that was never the agenda. So when our defense minister, Ben Wallace, earlier this week argued that Russia is driven by, or Putin, by ethno-nationalism, it couldn't be more mistaken. And so much of British analysis is false. Putin has constantly condemned ethno-nationalism because that would destroy Russia itself, made up of at least 150 nations. Mm. So it's a question. It's about strategy and security. And as for Ukraine, it was committed to neutrality, which is exactly what Russia is saying, just like Austria, Finland, Ireland. And so the move towards trying to join NATO was always provocative. Plenty of people in Washington opposed it. Fiona Hill, a British person who was in the National Security Council in 2008 when the promise was made, said that they opposed it. So it was Bush, George W. Bush, who actually pushed it forwards, and the neoconservatives, leading to where we are today.
Yes. So that leads to my next question. How likely is it, do you think, that there will be an incursion or maybe something even more serious?
Well, I mean, invasion is not really on the cards.
Okay.
But anything short of that, I mean, in a sense, a military action is quite possible. And of course, once it starts, then we're talking about distance bombing. We're talking about artillery, because basically they're saying they've drawn a line in the sand. And at the moment, as the situation develops, just as in the Cuban Missile Crisis of October 1962, there is no way back. If Russia just simply withdrew now with nothing in the pocket, then, of course, it would be a humiliation. Uh-huh. If you remember, the Cuban Missile Crisis was solved by adroit diplomacy by Kennedy and Khrushchev. And, of course, part of the deal was the removal of Jupiter missiles from Turkey. Today, the West has to offer something, because the West has quite clearly, in NATO enlargement, as I say, is divided in the West. Many commentators who are always opposed to it said that sooner or later we'd get to where we are today. Ukraine's options clearly are neutrality. I mean, that's what has to be on the cards. And its security is always indivisible. And Russia believes that if they join NATO, or if they had an alliance with the United States, missiles would take 5 minutes to get from Kharkov to Moscow. Clearly, this is, they regard, a line in the sand that they can go no further back.
I see. And Richard, there's been some debate actually among my listeners this morning. It's been very interesting about whether it's a good idea for Britain to send weapons or support and assistance to Ukraine, which we know they are doing. Is it a good idea for Britain to get involved?
It's insane. It's utterly insane. Even Germany is refusing to allow British planes with these weapons direct access to Ukraine, and so they have to go over the Baltic republics and over the Baltic Sea. It's adding fuel to the flames. It's also damaging British reputation because clearly it's ill-judged, just like moving the ship, if you remember, earlier this year, which went through what's now claimed to be Russian territorial waters.
Yeah.
It's just stoking the flames. It's as if, this is what the danger, why I say the Cuban Missile Crisis, which was handled by Washington and Moscow. So in a situation as dangerous as this, we don't want, kind of a mischievous third players, which is what the United Kingdom is, which understands nothing. I just mentioned Ben Wallace. Liz Truss has no idea, really, of what the stakes are and what is going on. So it has to be Washington and Moscow, the serious players. Europeans will just simply make a diplomatic solution impossible and lead to the catastrophic, disastrous, and hopefully, God forbid, a military action of one form or another.
Why do you think Britain's getting involved then? I mean, is it about sort of posturing on the world stage, sort of trying to flex a muscle here?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Right. It's this ridiculous idea of global Britain. I mean, I'd love to see a genuine, forward-looking, progressive sort of global Britain, but this is just simply old-fashioned imperial reflexes which contribute nothing to international diplomacy, but simply is part of Britain's, I'm afraid, bombast and bluster, which seems to dominate our policy nowadays.
What did you make of President Biden's speech about this? I know there's been much debate about what he said. It was kind of obscure. He seemed to be saying a small incursion would be okay or would be dealt with differently. I didn't really quite understand what he was getting at there.
Well, what he's basically saying is that the United States is quite obviously it was never going to, and it said it quite explicitly, it would not commit forces and troops to Ukraine. And so the promise of NATO membership to Ukraine is a false one. It was never on the cards for at least two decades, one imagines, if then. So it's what we're fighting about now is a hypothetical. And Biden, of course, has met Putin. They met in Geneva in June. Mm-hmm. And he has been, one has to say, reasonably aware of the issues, a long-term foreign policy veteran. But clearly he's in a very difficult position because most of his staff are very, very hardline hawks of the worst order. And there are very, very few realists in Washington as well. He's one of them, Biden. But, Moscow and Washington today are dominated by hawks, which is really dangerous because the voice of moderation and diplomacy is simply not being heard. Blinken is really hardline and all the others in Department are, old leftovers from the neoliberal interventionist wing of US foreign policy.
Richard, it's been really enlightening talking to you this morning. Thank you so much for bringing your expertise onto the show, and please do keep in touch. I think we're going to need to discuss this again as the situation develops. For now, thank you. Richard Sakwa then is Professor of Russian and European Politics at the University of Kent. We welcome your thoughts on all of this as well. I mentioned a lot of